Jesus in the darkness over every end. the storm. Never fails. When we get to the end of the sermon here today, you may hear a little repeat of what Brother Tim said, and I didn't talk to him about what I was going to preach about today. But if you would stand and let's read our scripture today, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be 35 through 41. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it is now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Wow, what a statement. We're going to talk about that statement a little bit. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said unto one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind of the sea obey him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we always thank you for the opportunity to come to this church house, Lord. We thank you already for the singing and the testimony that's already went out here today. We certainly feel your spirit here today. And God, today we're so thankful for our pastor and his family, Lord. And we just ask a blessing upon them, Lord, as they get a vacation, a much needed rest, Lord. We see here as you worked, Lord, you were asleep in the hinder part of that boat, Lord, taking just a small rest. And we ask you to give Brother Dave and his family that this week, Lord, and bring them back to us safely. And God, as we preach your word here today, I would ask, God, that you take me out of the equation completely. Lord, as I rounded that old track several times yesterday and me and you were talking, Lord, I ask you then, and I'm going to ask you again now, let everything that's said here today be from you, God. Don't let any of it be from me, Lord. And Lord, I pray today your word doesn't go out in vain, Lord. I know that you've given me a message to preach here to this congregation today, but this message was for me, and I know that, God. And I thank you for it, for the lessons I've learned in it. God, be with us as we go on through this service. And these things we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. We not only need to pray for Brother Dave and his family, we got people traveling all over the place. Two of our daughters are traveling. They're with the Bohannons. I think maybe the Mannings are with them. So still got a great crowd here today, though. We're glad to see everybody out. I know through the summer we start camping and we start going to the beach and we start taking those trips, and those are necessary. We need to get a break from life and have some time. So like I said, the other day I knew I was preaching. David had told us that he was going on vacation, and me and Tim, he always just says to me and Tim, you all choose. One of you's preach on Sunday, one of you's preach on Wednesday. And me and Tim have the same conversation every year. Tim says, well, you got your youth on Wednesday night, I'm leading the music on Sunday, so you preach Sunday and I'll preach Wednesday. It goes down that way every time. Went down that way. Unfortunately, this time it went down while we had sheetrock over our heads, okay? I was helping Brother Tim put up some sheetrock over his house, and we had this conversation. Here's something Tim figured out. Don't invite the short guy to help you hang sheetrock on the ceiling. Because Tim had it up there, and I was doing this. I said, Tim, it's going to fall. But we kept it up there somehow. Luckily, he had a piece of wood that he held it up there with, too. Because my legs wasn't doing it. I was just too short. I couldn't hold it up there. But I come home the other night, and I said, God, what do you want me to preach? That's a very important thing to me. I want you all to know that about me. One of my daughters asked me the other day, are you nervous about preaching Sunday, Dad? I get nervous every time I get behind this pulpit. Because I want to honor God, and I want to make sure I'm doing what he wants me to do and not what I want to do. And I was praying the other night, and I said, God, I got to know. I ain't hearing nothing. And I don't want to go do a sermon that came from Scotty, because it's not going to be any good to Scotty or anybody sitting out there. And I began to pray, and Mid-Mountain had just laid down in bed. And about that time, there was a flash outside of my window. It was lightning. And then there came thunder. And then more lightning. I mean, that thunder was rattling the house, wasn't it, Melanie? And God said, preach about the storm. Preach about the storm. And it's amazing how he does that. It's amazing how he gives us what we're going to do. The thing that I get petrified about in that storm is our poor dog. He cannot handle storms, you know. I heard that crack of lightning. I heard that thunder. And I heard him upstairs jumping from the floor into Kelsey's bed, you know, because that's exactly where he goes. But I went straight to the power over the storm. And I've learned a lot in getting this message together. But let's go to verse 35. We're going to start there. And in the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. You know, when you've probably read these verses, you've heard them, you've probably heard them preached. I'm sure we've heard David preach them. And most people go straight to the storm, but we're not going to go straight to the storm. We're going to start right here with looking at Jesus. I want to look at how Jesus handled himself, because I think we need to handle ourselves the right way and the way he did. And the first thing I want us to look at is Jesus is always intentional. Jesus is always intentional. How did we get here? Let's back up. If you want to flip with me, Ken, you don't have to. But Mark 4, starting in the first verses right here. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea of the land. So he's finishing up right here, and there was such a crowd that he had stepped out into his ship, and he began to preach, and he began to teach, and he began to talk about the doctrine and the gospel. And he was standing on that ship all day long, message after message after message. And it had came to the evening. Now what happens, let's be honest with each other. We come to a service, and some of us get here at 9:30 for Sunday school. Some of us get here at 10:30 for service. We're normally here till about noon. We go eat lunch, and what do we do? What's our favorite thing to do on Sunday afternoon after we've been here only a couple hours and we go eat lunch? What do? We take a nap. You can say it loud. We all do it, okay? All right? You better hope your best TV show ain't on, because you ain't going to finish it, all right? You're going to take a nap. Jesus has been preaching all day long. So many people that he had to get into the boat and come out into the sea, and yet he's so intentional that he knew there was something for him to do on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he said, we need to get in the boat and go over there. Now, his disciples didn't know why they were going over there. They were just doing what Jesus said. But he knew there was something over there for him to do. He was so intentional. He did everything with a purpose. Everything he did had a purpose of furthering the kingdom of God and manifesting the glory of God. And I began to think about my own life when I was doing this. And I said, Scotty, how intentional are you for God? Well, I go over there on Wednesday nights, and I've got the kids, and I preach to them, and we play a game. I pray with people when they ask me to pray. I'm there every Sunday morning. I go up and do my part when David's here. I talked to Tim and David on the phone about God. Wow. Is that it? Is that as intentional as I get? I said, Scotty, what are you talking about here? I need to be more intentional for the kingdom of God. And never has there been a time in the life that I've lived on this 48 years on the earth that I need to be intentional. I need to let God show through my life. I need to be seeking out those who need to hear about Jesus. I need to be stopping and praying with somebody. I need to be getting in this book when I'm sitting there with nothing to do and reading it. I need to be on my knees praying. But you know what? We're just not that intentional. You know why? We get distracted by life. We get distracted by life. I'll give you my routine, okay? I get up. I'm a banker. I'm normally at work by 7:30. No, I'm just kidding. 10 o'clock, okay? I'm normally at work by 10. This does not just wake up this way, folks. It takes time, okay? All right. I'm normally at work by 9:30-ish, 10:30-ish, something around in there, okay? I get after it when I'm at work. I'm intentional about my work. I'm very intentional about my work when I get there. I'm very intentional about making sure my customers are taken care of. I'm intentional. I know this sounds funny, but this is truth. About 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I make the phone call to Melanie. What do you think that phone call's about? Can anybody guess it? What are we eating for dinner tonight? You stopping at the store, or am I ordering something, or are we going out to eat? I'm always intentional about what we're going to eat, okay? I'm very intentional about that, all right? And then we go home, we eat. A lot of times I go over and walk. We come back. One of us sits in one room and watches TV. One of us sits in the other room and watches TV. I started thinking about that, Ernest. That's not very intentional for the kingdom of God. And I read this message, and I looked at Jesus. And here, this guy is walking around, and he's poured his heart and soul out all day long, from the morning to the evening. And he said, let's get in the ship. We got to go to the other side. And listen to this. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. It says they took him even as he was. He didn't go get a new wardrobe. He didn't go check and see if his body was okay. He didn't look to see if he had something to eat, because you know what? The kingdom of God was more pressing. The issues of the kingdom of God was more pressing than what he had going on in his life. The kingdom of God needs to be more pressing than what we had going on in his life. I mean, can you imagine boarding a little old ship going over a sea? I mean, our girls are going on a cruise right now, and we heard the murmuring upstairs the other day because you can only have so much luggage, evidently. They had to weigh it. I mean, listen, we had some fallout at the Henry household because we could not pack 63 outfits to take with us, okay? I mean, we're tipping that thing on the scale, making sure, okay, give me one more, Riley. I'll get one more in here. All right, 45. We're good. That's all we can take. Jesus preaches all day, wears the same clothes, gets in the boat to go do God's business. How intentional are we, folks? But you know what I will do? I'll sit around and fuss about the world all the time. I'll fuss about what I see on Twitter. I'll fuss about the news on the TV. I'll fuss about how people act. I'll fuss about how Christians get treated. I'll fuss about that it seems like the world is going the other direction and not going toward Christianity. But you know when I do it, sitting in my recliner, doing nothing about it. Never in our lives is there a call for us to be more intentional as a Christian. We need to take the example of Jesus Christ. And if it takes us preaching all day here and then still going to visit somebody this afternoon and still going to do God's work later today and getting up and doing God's work again tomorrow and the next day to that everybody hears the word of Christ, that's what we need to do and that's who we need to be about. And you know what? This message, you may be listening to it, but that was for Scotty Henry. Jesus Christ told me that plainly. Hey, big boy, you need to do a little less fussing and a little more getting after it for me. And then he said, you know what? I've got after it. I'll give you the example. Think about the things you are intentional in your life with. What about sports? We're intentional with sports, right? I mean, yesterday we were at a family reunion and I said, Melanie, we got to go. We got to go. She's like, something wrong? Something, yeah, UT plays at 3. I got to be there. I want to watch first pitch. Right? I mean, we're intentional about that. And then it rain delayed. And what did I do? Are you kidding? Really? We could have played this in Knoxville. Okay. No offense to our Mississippi family here. Okay. But all right. We didn't have to go to Mississippi to play it. We could have played it right here in Knoxville and been just fine. Okay. I was intentional about that. Okay. I was intentional. I'm intentional about so many things. Except this. You know when I'm intentional about this? When I'm supposed to be and when I have to be. Let's don't be a people that's only intentional when we have to be, okay? Let's be a people that are intentional like Jesus all the time. Let's have a purpose for everything we do. That was a big thing that I got out of this. He had a purpose for everything he did. He wasn't just going to the other side to be going to the other side. He wasn't running away from the multitude. He had done spoke to that multitude, and he knew there was business of the kingdom on the other side. The other thing was, if we believe that Jesus knows everything and that he foreknows everything, he knew there was going to be a storm. He wanted to manifest his glory and let them see that he could stop the storm of the sea. Everything he did had an intention. Everything he did had a purpose. We need to be more intentional for the kingdom of God. All right, next thing. Storms are inevitable, okay? If you're here today and you're breathing, you've either been through a storm or you're going to go through a storm. You may be sitting here right now and you may be in the middle of a storm. We're going to look right here at verse, and there arose a great, verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Here's something to know about the Sea of Galilee, and I looked this up, and I'm going to give you my part of David Ayers right here. I went and looked something up. And studied it even further and found out David does such a great job of finding out how he the people got to where he's preaching about and all the little nuggets in there. He does such a wonderful job of that, and I love it. But the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains and hills. So it's a natural wind tunnel. And it said of the Sea of Galilee that you could be out there and it could be 80 and beautiful and sunny, and in a moment's notice, there could be a storm pop up that was violent and threatening and chaotic. What does that sound like? That sounds like our lives. One moment we can be walking around, Brother Tim, and everything be just fine. And the next day, 14 things could have happened, and all of a sudden, our life is not what it was 2 days ago, and we are in the middle of a storm, and chaos has ensued in our lives. And if you're old enough, and we went around the room right now, every one of us could give example after example that's happened in our lives. And what happens to us? I know what happens to me a lot of times. The first thing that happens, I look to Jesus, but I don't. The first thing I do, I get scared to death, Brother Tim. I get left in the dark. Brother Tim's talking about being in the dark. I get scared to death. I get fearful. I doubt. I worry. I start going ahead and trying to figure out in my head what the end result of that's going to be. You ever had a bug bite pop up on you or something happen on your body and you go to that WebMD website? Okay, you will be dead by dinner, okay? Just go ahead, call Pastor Dave, tell him Thursday he's got a funeral and it's yours, okay? just to be ready, all right? Just go ahead and book it, all right? I mean, boy, as humans, we could go from, hey, I'm headed to the grocery store, to my left ankle kind of hurt while I was in there. I got in the car. I got on this thing. I looked up WebMD to call my wife going, I'm going to the emergency room. I'm dying. Just tell the kids I love them, okay? What's wrong? My ankle's hurting. But we do it, don't we? We do. We're horrible about it. Man, we go from 0 to 60 in a hurry, okay? Because you know what? As Christians, I don't know. Sometimes we like to think because we know Jesus that things aren't going to happen to us. Matter of fact, I think more things happen to us because we do believe. And not only are there the natural things of life that pop up, but I believe the devil's after us all the time, constantly putting things in our way. It's inevitable. A storm is inevitable. John 16:33, though. I love this verse right here. I know we've heard Brother Dave say this verse, but I want to read it here for you this morning. John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have storms. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And what are those storms of life? It may be physical. It may be mental. It may be financial. It may be a death in the family. It may be relationships. It may be work. It may be raising children. Okay? Storms can pop up all over the place for us. But the thing we got to realize is they are inevitable. And then what happens? Oh, my gosh. This one is, I really struggled with this one because I've been here on this one before. What happens? Number three, our insecurities show up. We really learn a lot about ourselves when the storm comes. Our insecurities show up. Now, listen to this. Listen to this phrase. First of all, they're in a ship. Jesus is in the boat. I understand that he's asleep, but he's in the boat. How would everybody feel today if David was on vacation and Jesus said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come down here and sit where David normally does? We'd all feel pretty good, wouldn't we? And what if he was tired and he needed to take a rest? Does that mean Jesus is not Jesus anymore because Jesus is asleep? No, Jesus is Jesus whether he's asleep or whether he's not asleep. But because we handle things the way we do, when those storms come, our insecurities hit, and we let our minds go 90 miles an hour, and we let fear and worry and doubt and everything that could happen come, and then we end up sometimes saying something like this, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Could you imagine if we were having a bad day in here, Jesus was asleep and Taylan reached over the pew and tied your mother's shoulder and said, hey, buddy, you going to do your thing or what? Huh? We will get ourselves in such a tizzy. We will get ourselves worked up so much and we will feel the burden of life and the burden of the storm so much that at points in our life, we will literally say, Jesus, why do you not care about me? How do I know this? Because I've done it. I'm not proud of it, but I've done it. I've literally asked Jesus at times in my life, hey, do you not see what's going on down here? Why would you let me go through this? You ever said that one? I'm saved. I went to church Sunday. I went to dinner on Wednesday night. Why would you let me go through this? That's where we go. And then we do this right here. We just sat down And we say, well, that's all I could do. God don't like me. World don't like me. I can't get out of this storm. Everybody's against me. You ever done that? You ever just sat there and cried? Boy, I have. I've sat there and cried before. Unfortunately, I've done that more times in my life than I wanted to. When I could have been doing something else. But our natural insecurities kick in, and we will go to that point. And Matthew 14, 25 through 41, Jesus come walking on the water up to the ship, and they were scared to death. And he said, hey, don't be scared. Be of good cheer. It is I. And Peter said, well, if it's you, let me come to you, Lord. And Peter stepped out on that water, and he began to walk. And then what did he do? He looked at the waves. And when he looked at the waves, he began to sink. But when he began to sink, what happened? Jesus, that hand came down right there, that mighty hand, and Peter reached up and grabbed a hold of it. We look at the waves, and we begin to sink, and it's hard for us. We're humans. It's hard for us, isn't it? Well, as I walked around that track yesterday, this verse was what rang true to me. And I want to ask you today about this verse. Number four, it's time to wake up the master. Okay? When we get in those moments, when we get in those storms, when we get in those valleys of doubt, and our mind starts racing, and we're going places we shouldn't be, and it feels like life has overwhelmed us. It says over here in Luke, it's talking about the same story, Luke 8, 24. And they came to him and awoke him the other night. No matter, by the way, I used to hear that my mom and dad say this, no matter how old your kids get, they're your kids. This about 2 months ago, Kelsey, our second child, who's now 24, she still lives at home. Until November, she's marrying this gentleman right here in the front row. Him and her dog will be moving out, okay? So praise God, Josh, right? You and Marley both. Yeah. But Kelsey still lives at home. Josh lives over Pigeon Forge. But it made me think about this so much. Kelsey had a lot going on. She coaches softball. She stressed out. But her heart rate had got up. And she come downstairs, and as a parent, you ever felt like you feel like there's something walking by or something's going on? Even though your eyes are still closed and you're asleep, you kind of feel something. You know, I felt like I felt like I heard Kelsey walk by. And I kind of opened my eyes, and she did walk by, and I thought, well, she's going in the kitchen, get a drink of water or something, you know. Well, then I couldn't really tell time, but it felt like, you know, I heard her again walking in front of the door. And then finally, after an hour, I didn't know it had been an hour. Finally, after an hour, she finally come in there and she said, Mom, Dad, you're going to have to get up. My heart rate is racing. And her heart rate was, it was out the roof, you know. It was 130, 140, okay? And she was like, I didn't want to wake you up, but I don't know what to do. And about that time, you know, she puked everywhere. So luckily not in the bathroom, you know. So you ever been there? You ever been scared to death? You ever felt sick? But you don't want to disturb Mom and Dad? You ever been in trouble? And you know you got to tell them. But gosh, you don't know what to do. You ever been in that storm and you're sitting there and things are all around you? And you just sat down and you've lost hope? You know, when I was that little boy, Tim, and I had those fears, if I made it to that bedroom door and I got my daddy and my mama to raise up their heads, and I was able to jump in the middle of that bed, or I was able to get a hold of their hand, everything just went away. Everything melted away. When is the last time you woke up the Father? When is the last time that you got a hold of Jesus and said, I need you to wake up. I need you to hear what I'm praying. I need you to get what I'm going through. And I need you to come down here. And I need you to be with me. And I need you to help me get through this. And I need that measure of faith. But no, we'll just sit there a lot of times. We won't go on in the bedroom and wake him up. We'll just try to make it on our own. He doesn't want you to make it on your own. He wants to be the Father that comes and helps you. But you know what? It's time to wake him up. It's time to shake the boat. It's time to say, hey, the wind's coming and I can't handle it no more. I need you to get up because you can handle it. They finally went to him and they woke him up. How many times in our lives do we walk around this life depressed, miserable, in a storm, refusing to get a hold of Jesus? I was walking around that track over there yesterday, and I tell you what I did. I said, Jesus, I need to get a hold of you. And me and him, we began to walk together and talk together. I got a hold of Jesus yesterday, and the tears started flowing, and I was praying for things, and I felt like it was me and him walking around the track. Sometimes you got to wake him up. Sometimes if you think he's asleep in the ship, you got to say, hey, I need you. When's the last time you truly, be honest with yourselves, because I was honest with myself yesterday. When's the last time you truly got a hold of Jesus Christ about the things of your life? Nope, you know what we'll do? We'll get up tomorrow. We'll go be intentional about work. We'll be intentional about dinner. We'll watch our TV show, and we'll go to bed. Get a hold of him today. If you got something going on today, get a hold of him. Don't try to fix it yourself. He's here. He is here. This is his house. This is his spirit. It's not my spirit. It's not David's spirit. It's not Tim's spirit. It's his spirit. What have you got going on? Grab a hold of the feet of Jesus today and say, hey, I don't want to stay in this anymore. The winds, I'm in the Sea of Galilee and I've had one pop up, Lord. Come and get me. Come and help me. You got to wake him up. Let's stand. We're going to have our invitation. Brother Tim, you come on. Jeremiah 33:3. Let's start 33:1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up at the court in the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, maker thereof, the Lord to be formed, to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great things and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then, of course, we know Romans 10:12-14. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When's the last time you called upon the name of the Lord? When's the last time? Hey, and you may be here today, you've never called on the name of the Lord. All right? Maybe today is your day of salvation and you've never called. When we start singing here in a minute, you get on up here. How many of you are in a storm right now, or you got things going on in your life and you need Jesus, but you've just been walking by the door and you refuse to go in and wake him up? Maybe today's the day you come up here and you get him woke up and tell him what's going on in your life and give it to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this building. Lord, as I actually sang about the building, this building is so precious. And we know, God, that it's not the wood, it's not the pews, it's not the books that save us, it's you. Today, Lord, as we go into this part of the service, if there's somebody out there hurt and struggling today, God, I pray with all my heart and soul that they wouldn't pass by any longer, that they would come up here on this altar, God, and they would get a hold of you, and they would call upon your name, Lord, and that you would show them great and mighty things, Lord, that they can't even understand, that they would give their storms of life up to you, God. God, today, We ask again that you bless our pastor, Lord, bring him back to us safely. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You come today as they sing if you need to come.